close!
The muties had a slight numerical disadvantage, but they made up for that by their unbridled ferocity. Other than the night assault at the feeding, few of the men from the Ville had ever seen a Sticky, and many were almost paralyzed with terror at the hideous sight of gibbering death running at them. Some turned and fled in panic. Almost all of them died early. The skinny man who'd asked the question about what to do if he got grabbed by a Sticky got his answer. He stumbled blindly into the embrace of two of the scuttling muties. One was a female with pendulous breasts who used her suckered hand to tear away the man's clothes, leaving bleeding weals on his pale flesh. Her other hand clutched at his groin, the tiny discs clamping to his shrunken genitals. The creature exerted all her power, emasculating the screaming man and flourishing the severed flesh and sinew above her head. Her companion had already attached himself to the side of the man's neck, near the throbbing temptation of the carotid artery. Death was mercifully rapid. If Ryan's original plan had been followed by the group containing Zombie and Norman Moat, the initial wave of the assault could have hoped to chill 60 to 70% of the hostiles. Now it was a bloody battle for the upper hand. Ryan had his rifle set on triple burst, knocking over any mutie that came within easy range. Ryan nearly tripped over a human corpse on the far side of the valley, near the opening of one of the caves, recognizing who it was, only from the pair of dark blue spectacles that lay near the headless body. Leighton Brennan and his airwag would soon learn that his grandfather was dead. The sand was rapidly becoming a quagmire of trampled mud, with a stench of death hovering above. The biker called Free Wheeler was facing a Sticky who'd snatched his scattergun, but couldn't work out how to fire it. The biker had drawn a long-bladed knife and was cutting away at the mutie's chest and stomach, opening up gaping wounds in the rubbery flesh, but hardly harming the creature.
This appears to be easier than stealing candy from a little baby.
Ryan leveled his G-12 and fired a trio of bullets, missing Doc by less than a yard. The old man stumbled sideways, his jaw dropping in shock. He glanced behind him and saw a Sticky falling over backward, half of its face blown away by Ryan's shots.
Some fucking baby. Watch your back, Doc.
Riddler was nearly pulled down by two young female Stickies as he fumbled in the pockets of his denim vest for more ammunition. He swung the butt of his shotgun in two clubbing blows, knocking both muties to the crimsoned earth.
Eat lead! Best advice anyone ever gave me. Shoot them in the head and they fucking die. Right on, bro!
The combined firepower of the attackers finally tipped the balance firmly in their favor. The initial charge by the Stickies left, at Ryan's swift count, around 8 or 9 of the humans dead. But the shotguns were taking their toll, aided by the blasters of Ryan, JB, Doc, and Jack. Well over half of the Stickies were already dead. The remaining creatures had begun to retreat, heading away in a clumsy run over the ridges, while others backed off into the shallow caves where they were easily trapped and butchered. This part of the day's hunting, Ryan noticed, was particularly relished by Norman Moat and his whooping, jeering son. JB joined Ryan, carefully reloading his blaster.
Looks close to done.
Yeah, looks that way. Could have gone worse, I guess.
At least none of us got caught by any stray lead. There was plenty flying for a while.
Where's the Baron?
JB turned and pointed.
There. Near where his brother bought the farm.
Best go see to him. Wouldn't want any accidents to happen. Not now.
They were almost too late. The valley was brimming with a stench of powder smoke, hazy and blue.
There he is.
Edgar Brennan, a kerchief pressed to his red-rimmed, weeping eyes, was moving unsteadily down the far side of the valley.
Let's go help him. He looks pretty broken up by his brother's death.
Ryan and JB walked quickly across, feeling the stickiness of the dirt on the soles and heels of their combat boots. When they were only a few yards from the stumbling little man, he looked up and saw them.
Rufus has...
His feet slipped from under him, and he fell, full length, rolling toward them. The earth behind the Baron exploded in great bursts of mud.
M16.
Yeah, Dern. There he is.
The owner of the gun shop stood on the ridge, about 100 paces behind them. When he saw them looking his way, he hesitated, then stood and waved to them.
Chill him.
He's one of Moat's boys. Could push things over the brim and get the pot boiling on the fire.
Dern began to approach them, rifle at his side.
Hollow tooth, brothers. I was close. I was aiming at a Sticky behind you, but there's something wrong with the sights on my blaster.
Brennan had stood and brushed himself clean, his hands trembling with shock at the near miss.
He tried to chill me.
Yeah, Baron, but I'd keep my lips zipped. This isn't a time or place with all Moat men around us.
For sure, John, but...
Dern reached them.
Never known this blaster to let me down. I was terrible. Could have gunned down the Baron.
Ryan looked him in the eye.
You could have, but you didn't. Now that's either lucky or unlucky. Depends on how you look at it.
I don't understand, Mr. Cotter.
Yeah, you do. If you'd killed the Baron, some would say that was unlucky. And some might say it wasn't.
Dern swallowed hard and looked away.
I'm sure I don't
know... One thing to keep in mind, Gunsmith. Anything happens to the Baron now, we'll know who to come looking for, won't we?
Zombie joined them with six of his chapter. Ryan had seen one of them, Vinny, he thought, go down under an unusually tall sticky, his body a welter of blood. But the gunfire had completely faded away. The fight was over and won.
That's it. We got them all. Don't think a single one escaped. We found us some tinies in one cave. Blowed them away. Can't let the fuckers breed.
Sure, Zombie. We going back to Snakefish now?
Ryan looked at Baron Brennan, but the little man was still too shaken by his narrow escape and the death of his brother. It was Norman Moat, arriving with his arm around his son's shoulders, who answered.
We surely will. And thanks to everyone here. You all played your parts. We'll have a service of thanks this night.
And you got some burying to do, Reverend.
And I have to see to the obsequies for poor Azrael 12, Brother Cotter, and pursue the quest to find out who butchered him. Perhaps it could have been the Stickies. Then again, perhaps not.
Ryan looked around the place of blood and death, resolving that he and his friends had to leave Snakefish as soon as possible, before it was too late. Though Norman Moat tried to make those in the Ville believe that the raid on the Stickies had been an unqualified success, there were too many corpses from Snakefish to convince everyone. By the time the excitement had died away, and the grief become more private and seemly, it was early afternoon. Ryan and his friends dined in their hotel with three guests. Carla Peterson sat next to J.B. Beside her was Baron Edgar Brennan, stricken by his bereavement, only picking at his plate of stew and rice. His nephew Layton sat next to him. Once Ryan and the others had given an account of the morning's firefight, conversation flagged and faltered. Eventually, it faded into an almost complete silence. Christy leaned nearer to Ryan.
Rick's been ill. A couple of times during the morning, his mind sort of slipped and he was talking like he was a kid again, out on a summer picnic with his folks, a place called Bear Mountain. He was dozing and mumbling to himself like Doc does every now and then.
We always knew that these freezies were only frozen because they were close to dying. I'd still like to try to find the other two cryocenters that he mentioned.
I've already asked him about that while you and the rest of the good old boys were out playing with your blasters.
And? What'd he say about them?
I took notes in case I forgot it. And he also talked about the gateways.
You've been real busy, lover. Tell me more about the gateways.
The news wasn't good. Rick had told Christy, while he lay resting on his bed, that he could recall that his special area of expertise had been the gateway controls. But like many technical specialties, his had been contained within a narrow band. All he knew was to make sure the controls weren't set for a gateway that didn't exist or had suffered a major malfunction. It was an easy number and letter code, which Christy had written down.
Better than nothing.